It's time to step into the Coming Out Lounge, a cool, safe space to be true to your sexual self, with your host, Rick Clemens. Rick has helped hundreds of people come out of the closet, and now each week he's bringing you cool insights for loving and accepting yourself, boosting your self-confidence, and living a guilt-free, purpose-filled life on the other side of the closet doors. Cuddle up with yourself and get ready for heartwarming coming out stories, ideas for living authentically, and tips for being fully self-expressed. Now here's your host, Coming Out Coach Rick.
Hello, Closet Busters. It's time once again to stop the closet dwelling and to step out, step up, and step into living your truth. In fact, today, not only are we going to talk about living our truth, but we're going to do some straight talking. Now, we're not going to try to turn you into a heterosexual, nothing like that. That's just not the way I roll. But what my guest and I want to do today is we really want to have some straight talk for a curvy world. You know, we want to talk about those things that we don't necessarily like to talk about too often. Maybe the messy stuff like coming out, cheating spouses, losing lots of money, whatever it may be. We're going to kind of go down that path today because I believe hearing some of these stories from people really help us in our coming out journey. And also because if you don't talk about that straight stuff about all the messy things, you know, if you don't have those straight talks about the messy stuff in life, in those curvy worlds that we live in, then you're kind of avoiding a lot of truths and missing out on some great lessons that will really truly serve you well in your journey through life as well as coming out of the closet. Now, I'm going to tell you a little bit about my guest today. She's a really beautiful woman from the inside out. She's a good friend of mine who hosts her own podcast, and I bet you can almost tell what it's going to be called. Yes, it's called Straight Talk for a Curvy World. She's a phenomenal storyteller, an awesome speaker. I've seen her speak numerous times. And what I love about her is she really challenges people from all walks of life to just step in and love their lives from the inside out. She's been featured in Silent Speaks, Stories of Survival, and she even wrote and starred in her own short film, Journey of Abuse. She's a writer, she's a woman's empowerment leader, and she is the creator of I Am Habits. Please welcome to the show my good friend, Ann Peck. Welcome, Ann.
Thank you, Rick. It's wonderful to be here.
Well, I'm just so happy that you're here. And we've been waiting a long time to get together to do this. Not that we haven't spoke to each other in months, but it's been a long time coming to get you on the show here. And I'm really thrilled because when you and I met, we just kind of had that connection where we kind of got each other. Yes, we kind of knew each other's stories once we'd been at the event we were at. But it just felt like the right thing to connect you to have you on the Coming Out Lounge. So here we are. So thrilled.
Here we are.
Yeah. So let's kind of gently step into why I have a straight woman on the show talking about all these straight talks for a curvy world. By the way, I love the name of your podcast. I think that just rocks and it's awesome.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. But something got you to this space. And I don't care which of your stories you want to share because I think they all relate to all of us who are coming through closet doors and trying to be authentically who we are. But I have a feeling there was something pretty major that got you to this space where you're like, I need to start telling my story about, you know, really having some straight talk in this curvy world we live in. So the floor is yours to share whatever story feels right to you with the audience right now.
Thank you, Rick. I think all my stories really involve hiding in some way, shape, or form. And all of them really led me to getting to where I'm here today with the podcast and the work that I'm doing. So as I look back, you know, which one was the first one? Which one was the biggest one? Not one of them brought me here, but the one that that's coming up for me right now that I don't talk a lot about, but it's important to share, is the story when I divorced my children's father. And that was a very difficult divorce. There was domestic violence involved in the relationship. And what I found in my experience was that the professionals did not believe me. So here I was believing, if I'm just honest and I come out and I tell someone, because I hadn't told anyone. So I'd been in the closet, so to speak, for many years. But if I just tell the truth, then everything will be okay for me and the kids. And I did do that, and I described my experience, and the judge didn't believe me. The people that came to talk to us about custody, they didn't believe me. Mm. And in the end, 2.5 years later and 3 days of trial and thousands of dollars that could have been better spent on a child's college education, because
sure,
it certainly would have paid for a couple of them. Yeah. The judge gave sole physical custody to their dad. And I'd been the primary parent. Mm-hmm. I was a speaker. I didn't have to work a lot to make a really good income that supported us.
Yeah.
And the kids would travel with me when I spoke. So my children went from seeing me all the time to seeing me 4 hours once a week and every other weekend, mm-hmm. which I know that happens in divorce a lot.
Yep.
So I'm not unusual in that regard. What was so unusual was the concept of, I told the truth, I came out of the closet, I shared my story, finally, the one I'd been afraid to share, because I was afraid people would judge me, I was afraid they wouldn't believe me.
Right.
And all of those things happened. Hmm. And that sent me spiraling. Who am I? I mean, because I wasn't a mom anymore. I mean, I was still a mom, but I wasn't a mom 24/7.
Yeah.
And I lost a huge chunk of my identity. And it was a great gift for me as well. And things have changed in the arrangements and the time. I've got a daughter who's, you know, not even in school anymore. She's off living on her own, and right, my son's in high school. But that risk of coming out of the closet and telling my story and being rejected and not believed, mm-hmm. was actually a gift.
Yeah. And it's so, first of all, thank you so much for sharing that part of your story, because it's amazing that you and I had no conversations about what we're going to talk about today. And right out the gate, you just hit the nail on the head talking about two things that are so viably important for people on this journey. Number one, the abuse piece, and, you know, the rejection piece are both just huge. Many, many people, and I don't know if you know this about the gay community, but it is one of the communities that has a high level of domestic abuse within the community, especially between gay men. It's very high, and unfortunately, most of it is not believed, because it's like, okay, you're two men living together. Really, you know, one of you is beating the shit out of the other. You know, it's something that doesn't get believed, and it's become very much a focus point in our community to really start to work on that. Secondly, what you brought up about telling your story and not being believed by the judges and stuff, it's a direct parallel to many people who come out of the closet and have that rejection immediately from family or friends of, you can't be that way, and if that's the way you're going to be, then you can't be a part of this anymore. So that rejection had to be, as you said, it was a lesson, but I would assume the initial piece of it was heart-wrenching. You lost yourself, as you said, you had to find your own identity. Could you take us a little bit deeper into that, what it was like to be going, who am I?
Well, Rick, it was more than just who am I, which I experienced later in another mm-hmm. couple of stories. But at that time, in our society, what we knew was that if a woman lost custody of her children, mm-hmm. she was either crazy or a drug addict or yeah. a criminal. Mm. I was none of them. And yet, the message that I was receiving was that I was all of them, because clearly the message that came through was, I'm not good enough. I'm not good enough. And this other person is, which made no sense from just a thinking, logical standpoint. Even my attorney was like, I have no idea what just happened. And I'm like, well, if anybody should have known, you
right.
should have, you know, been experienced in this. And so it was something that was so foreign and unexpected. I mean, I lost who I was as a woman. It was like, well, I must be as bad as I had been told I was for all those years.
Yeah.
I must not be as nice as I thought I was. Everything that could be wrong with me must have been wrong with me, because my former husband had been saying it, mm-hmm. and now the judge was saying it, yep. and the custody evaluator was saying it, and nobody was listening, and nobody cared. And I have to share part of the story that compounded this difficulty was 4 months after the divorce was final. During a parenting exchange, my daughter ended up calling 911, and her words were, "Someone's trying to run over my mom." And the someone she was referring to was her father. And I'm leaving out all the drama because yeah. I want the audience to understand the point. It did exist, right?
Yeah.
Just like so many things, they really are going on. So even if other people aren't believing us, the circumstances keep showing up to confirm for us that they're real.
Yeah.
And that, again, was another opportunity. I mean, I spent a number of days hiding out in my house, you know, below the level of the windows, which because I was afraid. And what was I afraid of? Honestly, I don't know. I didn't want anyone to see me in the house.
Yeah.
And so after I got through that, what happened was I don't even know, by the grace of God, perhaps, something shifted, and I can't put my finger on it for you, Rick, but something shifted, and something came to me, and it was an organization who focused solely on battered mothers who lost custody or who were in custody battles.
Wow.
And that was finding them and being invited to share my testimony at their conference and being validated and heard and accepted. That was the shift.
Yeah.
I'd love to say that was, you know, that was the beginning of this beautiful life that I have, but no, I had a lot more go on after that.
Sure,
but it was the shift, and it was a beginning.
But I think what you just shared that's so poignant to the coming out journey is, as someone who's been in the closet, and I'll use my own life as the example, but I could overlay this to the hundreds of people that I've worked with in the years that I've been coaching. One of the things that happens is we get told being gay is bad, you're going to hell, it's a disgusting activity, you're sick, you're child abusers, all these sort of things. And then when you come out, if you happen to be one of those that goes through a huge amount of rejection and told you're no good, similar to what you went through, suddenly all those things we heard about being gay, they start to surface. Not that we're doing those things, but suddenly we start to question, am I really weird? Am I really sick? Am I going to go to hell? Am I really some oddball that one day I'll wake up and start abusing quote-unquote children? All of these things happen, which is the parallel to your story. It's like suddenly you weren't the drug addict. You weren't the woman who'd walked out on children. You weren't any of those things, but suddenly in your own way, you were starting to consider, am I really crazy? Is this really who I am? Did all this stuff really happen? And this is the power of realizing when we finally step through those doorways, you're going to go through some of these second guesses, because everyone around you more than likely is going to be telling you, see, we told you if you did this, this is what's going to happen. This is who you are. And I can only imagine your questioning who you were is very similar to what we question when we come through the closet doors of, oh my God, is this really who I am?
Yes.
It's so powerful. So we're going to kind of move forward, because we could do this, you and I could do this for hours on end, I know.
We could.
But this shift began to happen. You yes. saw that this wasn't who you were. So in yourself, what was that shift like inside? I mean, was there some essence of you that you started to see? Was there like some words that you started to hear in your mind that finally convinced you, okay, this really isn't who I am? Take us a little bit through that part too.
You know, it was, I don't know what specific words there were. Maybe they'll come out as I share a little bit more, but it was that process of the validation. I mean, the validation mm-hmm. that my experience was real. Because every time I told my story, it became real for the people listening, and it became real for me. I believe I had, and well, I don't, I know I had been denying and doubting all along the way. So, and this is something I work with on my clients to this day, but it comes from way back then, this idea of owning your story, you know, and the courage to come out from hiding and own your story. Yeah, it doesn't always work out the way you think it's going to when you first do it.
Yeah.
But you've got to take that first step, because what happens next is so huge in our journeys and our growth.
Absolutely. You know, it's interesting that you bring that up, because that's part of what I stand upon with my clients too. You have to own your story. You have to own who you are, because that may be all you have for a while. You may be your own best friend, and that's all you're going to have for a while. But the other piece of that is that on the other side, there's so much unique stuff that starts to happen. I know I'm kind of going through a process personally right now where I'm expanding, you know, who I am in this world, how I want to show up as far as a profession, and the message I want to bring to different people. And somebody said to me the other day, you know, Rick, yes, I know you're the coming out coach, you're the gay man's life coach, you've done all that work, you continue to do that work, but the work you do is you help people be confident to be unique in themselves. And I actually had chills, number one. And number two, I was like speechless, which you know me, Anne. That in and of itself is a pretty big feat to get me to be speechless. And I thought, you know, it's like I'm being taught my own lesson right now. If I don't own this piece of being the guy who helps people confidently be unique in themselves, then maybe I'm missing out on what I'm really supposed to be doing here on the earth. Yes, I'm doing this with the Coming Out Coach and the Coming Out Lounge like we're talking today, but you just brought up that beautiful piece of really owning your story and having the courage to do that. So from starting to feel that and having the courage to move forward, how did things start to change for you in the years ahead?
Well, I started to feel more confident about who I was and how I walked through this world.
Yeah.
I met someone amazing, fell in love, got married, and felt like this was my second chance, if you will. Mm. And I mean, it was, quote unquote, the perfect life. I even wrote a blog for a year called I Have the Perfect Life, which there's no such thing. But at the time, you know, it was I Have the Perfect Life, and it took a little twist, you know. So I would talk about, you know, when things didn't always go right. But it wasn't about the things not going right on a deep level. I was really talking on the surface, because I had found this acceptance. I had found myself. And what I found out later was I had just stepped it up a couple notches. I wasn't actually there. You know, I don't think we're ever there. I don't think we ever truly can say, I have arrived, this is who I am, and right. I have no further growth ahead of me.
Right, exactly.
I don't think that happens. But I thought during that time that I was much further along than looking back I realized I was.
And how did that feel?
Well, that takes us into another story, Rick, because let me tell you what it took to actually realize that. And I'm going to save all the fun, juicy details because they're coming out in the book next year.
Yes, I can't wait. I can't wait for that book to come out, because it's going to be awesome. And I would actually encourage anyone, and, you know, we'll have ways to get a hold of Anne on the show page, but we're keeping the book kind of under wraps. But even if you are gay or lesbian, I would encourage you to read Anne's book, because as you can already tell, there's beautiful correlations and lessons to be learned, because we're all on the same journey, regardless of what we may think. Oh, Rick's the coming out coach, and Anne does this stuff with empowerment leadership for women and her I Am Habit stuff. It's all the same stuff, but you get so many different perspectives and angles from hearing somebody else's story. So I just want to make sure we got a good plug in there for your forthcoming book, because I think it will really help anyone who's listening. So let's take a little bit step further, but we don't want to reveal too much. So You had this epiphany. You kind of started feeling different. You met the guy.
Right. And then we had our married life, a number of years together. And then
it just kind of
wasn't there.
It was gone.
No, it was gone. Yeah. And that's, you know, that was a huge, the way it ended and finding myself, and I'll share this because I talk about this already. I mean, I woke up and the money was gone. The bank accounts were emptied. And at that time, I was feeling so insecure. So I'd risen up, and I had, unbeknownst to me, during most of it happening, I mean, and I was a full participant, but I didn't realize how much of myself I had lost again. And so I woke up to no money. I woke up, you know, in my home, I was alone, and I was afraid to leave my house. I didn't know how to make a decision. And when I say I was afraid to leave my house, I mean, I was afraid to leave my house. Mm. I'd gone from speaking on stage to being in a marriage that, by all accounts, was an amazing marriage with two people that were meant to be together, and, you know, on and on and on. And when everything came apart, I mean, there I was, and I was so full of anxiety that I really didn't know what to do. And again, this was a huge gift, although I did not see it as one at that particular moment. Mm-hmm. You know, and it took some time. But having that happen and realizing that whatever happened now was entirely up to me.
Yeah.
And I was pushing 50, still am, but I was, you know, I was a little further away from it than I am now when this happened. But I knew that whatever decisions I made at this point in my life were going to set the course for the rest of my life.
Yeah.
And I couldn't afford to not be the woman I was put on this planet to be.
Mm. Okay, right there. It's like, just take the word and change it. The woman you were meant to be, the man you're meant to be, the gay person you're meant to be. You could take Anne's statement right there and use it for your own life. Every one of us cannot afford to not be the person we're meant to be on this planet.
Yeah.
It's so important. So important. That's definitely going to be the tweetable from the show, I would say. But a little Oprah reference there. But what I love about what you just shared, there's a couple things that came up as you were talking. You're admitting and owning that you were a full participant in this. And I think sometimes we miss that piece, because when we start to have these challenges in life and we go over the humps and over the falls and we think everything's like, oh my God, it's insanity, I think sometimes we forget to first own that we were a participant in this. Doesn't change anything, but I think what it does begin to change is, okay, now if I own my own stuff in this situation, now I can start to take the next step. Oftentimes, I think when we miss owning what we did, how we participated, how we played the game, how we showed up in the playground of life, and we put it out to put it on everybody else, the thing we miss is we have to own it ourselves to make the healing process actually kick in. And I'm wondering what you think about what I just said there about that, Anne.
I absolutely agree. The idea that, well, this happened and it was his fault, or this happened and it's because of, I tried that for a lot of years. Because that's the easy way. Mm-hmm. You know, if you want to grow and you want to become who you're truly meant to be, you got to do the hard work.
Yeah.
And many people choose not to. And again, it's a choice. And it's a choice that I made without even necessarily realizing I was making it. Mm-hmm. But it's not a choice I make today.
But I also believe when we have that moment where we finally say, okay, I was an active participant in this, and we own it, then what you just said about now, today, I choose not to do that. That's how we learn to be in choice at many, many opportunities in life. But we have to learn the lesson first.
We do.
And the universe is going to keep teaching us that same lesson until we learn it. And once we do, and I'm not saying that Ann and I are sitting here on our little holier-than-thou clouds going, okay, when the rest of you catch up with us, then we'll play with you guys. That's not it at all. I know for me, I learn the lesson over and over again every day in different ways. But I also have learned I get to choose. I get to choose how I want to be in this moment. I actually even get to choose how I want to be in this moment with you all listening on the podcast and with Ann right now. When we realize we have so much in our power of choice in every aspect of our lives, that's when we have true power of being the person we're meant to be.
Yeah. And Rick, you said it, but I want to just repeat it because it's so important for your listeners to hear this message. You're not saying it. I'm not saying that we're holier than thou, that we're, look at us, we're right. So good, you should do what we say. No, I'm telling you that, and I know from just talking with you privately, Rick, it's the same for you. I was down. I was as far down as I could get, right? So I'd hit my bottom and clawing my way back up and thinking I'd made it to the top and then realizing, oh my gosh, there's still more to go. And to tell you today, there's still more for me to go. So what I'm sharing now is probably not what I would share with you a year from now.
Exactly.
A year from now, I'll have another story where I'll say, oh, and guess what else?
Mm-hmm.
And that's I'm actually starting to really love that, because every time one of those stories happens, I just feel better on the other side of it.
You know, I feel 100% the same way you do. And as you were speaking, something just kind of flashed into my mind. I'm doing a lot of work on my business right now. And I have I'm calling him my rent-a-CEO, kind of like a rent-a-boy, but he's actually a rent-a-CEO, and he's really just done some phenomenal stuff with me. And one of my biggest downfalls has always been when I say, this is what we're doing, and I hold to my guns, this is how it's got to be done, da-da-da-da. And I realize now, because the universe has taught me this lesson over and over again, it still continues to do it, that I need to not be so tied to some things. I need to not be so tied to the outcome. And the reason I'm sharing this is because in the last week, my rent-a-CEO said to me, one of the things I love about working with you, Rick, is you're willing to hear something and you're not tied to the outcome. And I thought, no, that's not exactly who I am. And then when I thought about what we'd been working on, yes, every step of the way, I've actually allowed myself to let go of things and to go, okay, so let's go explore this and let's go explore this and let's go explore this. And because of that, I feel the most secure I've felt in my business in many, many years. Now, that doesn't mean that I feel like, oh, my business is going to fall apart. It's more of when you're breaking new territory, it's very hard to feel secure. And I think what Ann shared and what I'm sharing right now is about we are breaking new territory every time we come out to face a new challenge in life. And it is a coming out process. You guys that have listened to me regularly, you hear me say this over and over again. This coming out process will happen to you day in, day out, regardless of your sexual orientation. You will always be coming out of something. So, Ann, you came out of this two times, you've shared two different stories with us, and now here you are, you're doing some really, really powerful work. I'm curious, what keeps you going? What really keeps you going to just go, okay, I'm going to just keep learning and climbing and going?
You know, it's really a couple things. The work that I'm doing, this from the speaking to the mentoring that I do to the podcast,
mm-hmm.
and writing the book. So all of those together, without a doubt, I know this is the work that I was put here to do. Every day I feel so blessed to be able to talk with people, to be able to share other people's stories. I mean, I just canceled a week in California because I wanted to be home doing this work. And which, for those that know me, I mean, I'm an ocean baby through and through. And the work that I'm doing is even more powerful right now. So
I think there's something here that I want to throw in, and then we're getting, man, it's almost time to wrap up already. But what you just said is, it's not just the work you're doing, it's the way you're realizing you're meant to be here in this human experience. And I think this is something that if the listeners, and you've heard me say it before in different ways, but today it's coming through in a completely different way for me. When you realize you're meant to be here, being exactly who you are on the planet, just as you are, then you're doing what you're meant to do. And it doesn't matter if you're gay, bisexual, transgender, whatever it is, heterosexual. Those are just parts of you being who you are. But when you deny that piece of yourself, then you start to open the doorway to denying other pieces of yourself. And I think this is the really, really beautiful message coming out of today's episode about how you really stand up and you do the straight talk with yourself when you're in that curvy world that you live in for you and the one that you live in with others. I mean, it's the straight talk that really gets us pulled through. Wouldn't you agree, Anne?
Oh, absolutely.
So really quickly, and I hate that we got to wrap up, but I really want to know what's going on. I know you got the book coming out, so that's coming out sometime in 2016, correct?
Correct.
Yeah. What else you got going on that you might want to share with the listeners? Any events, any workshops coming up, anything else going on in your life?
We've got a couple things going on here in Minnesota in January. A book launch for a colleague of mine, and we're doing a special workshop. I've also got the Curvy World Women's Mentorship Experience, which will start taking applications at the first of the year, and that will begin at the end of January. And that's a awesome. 4-month program where we go through the I Am habits and we take a deep dive in a group setting.
That's awesome. And that program is for women, but it doesn't discriminate, right?
It doesn't discriminate. I do find that mostly men love the podcast and the messages of the I Am habits, but I do find that it's mostly women that sign on to be clients. Although I do have one male client that's been with me for a long time.
Awesome. And you know, the reason I wanted Anne to talk about that was because I think sometimes, and I'm not a lesbian, but I'm going to talk for my lesbian friends. They sometimes forget that they may be lesbian, but they're still women. And there's this interesting thing that happens about women kind of letting lesbians be their own phenomena. And they are their own group within the women gender. But sometimes I think it does a lot of good to go step into something that's like no gender barriers. Let's just go do this thing because you may find something that really impacts you and lifts you. And oftentimes I know in my gay community, we tend to go do everything that's gay or whatever, and we forget to continue to go, but I'm also a man, I'm also a woman, I'm also a parent. And sometimes opening yourself up to getting back into the stream of things often is what really turns things for you and helps you get through some of the challenges when you're going through the curves that we go through in the world. So to wrap it up here, I always ask the same question, all the listeners know, if you were to give someone a piece of advice about coming out and really coming out of their closets to be themselves, what would you like to leave the listeners with, Anne?
Two things, really, Rick. Number one, you don't have to do it alone. Find a friend, find a coach, find a mentor, and work with them on the journey. And then the second piece, which is just vital for all of us to remember, and that's compassion. Remember to show mercy and understanding first to yourself and then to others.
Yeah. I think that last, well, both pieces are great, but that last one is so critical. If you can't show yourself compassion and understanding, it's really hard to ask others to do that for you. Because if you're not doing it for yourself, believe it or not, people are going to see right through that. They're going to look at you and go, okay, I get that's what you want. I get that's what you need right now, but you're not doing it for yourself. So that lesson's going to keep coming back to you until you start to wrap yourself around, you know, put those arms around yourself in a really big warm embrace and say, okay, I really do care about myself. I really want to understand myself better. And with that, I think we're going to have to call it a wrap. So if somebody wants to get a hold of you, Ann, what's your web address?
It's annpeck, annpeck.com.
Awesome. Awesome. And that'll all be on the show pages as well. And I really appreciate you being here and sharing yourself in the beautiful way that you always do, Ann. Thanks so much for being here on the show with me today.
Thank you so much for having me, Rick. It's been wonderful.
Awesome. And if you've really enjoyed any of the stuff that Ann and I have been doling out, sharing with you, we always love a little bit of love and it can help really get the word out when you go over and do a review on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, wherever you're tapping in and tuning into us here. It always gives us a little bit of extra boost to get those reviews and ratings out there to help other people find us. And as always, if you're into connecting with me on a little bit closer level, you can find my page on Facebook at The Coming Out Coach. And of course, we can always use a little bit of tweets on our little friend Twitter. My handle is at Rick Clemens, and the hashtag for the show is The Coming Out Lounge, hashtag Coming Out Lounge. And I think with that, we're going to call it a wrap here and let you just kind of go and find your own way to be yourself and have some straight talk in that curvy world that you live in. And always remember, don't ever stop stepping out, stepping up, and stepping in to living your powerful truth. I'm Rick Clemens, the Coming Out Coach, and we will catch you next time on the Coming Out Lounge. Have a great week, everyone. Bye-bye.
You've just experienced the Coming Out Lounge. Go online to www.comingoutlounge.com to learn more, and tune in again next week for more stories and tips for being true to yourself.